Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, because we are in the house of the Lord again this morning. And the psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Are you glad this morning? If you are glad this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you because the entrance of your word always gives light. And we ask, Lord, today that you will glorify yourself in the message of the Lord and let every need be met this morning to the glory of your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you know, the Lord has been good to us this year. Amen?
Amen.
You know, has he been good to you already?
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. The Lord is good. Now, this morning, I want to share something with us here this morning. And the message is eyes on the promise. Now, that's your eyes on the promise. Now, I'm going to tell you, you know, a story here this morning. You know, some people love to hear stories. So I'll be telling you a story here this morning of some people that did not put their eyes on the promise. Now, God has promised us a lot of things already for this new year. Amen? Has God promised some things for us this year? Oh yeah, he has promised us a lot of things for us this year. A lot of good things. You know, but in order for us to get all of the benefits and all of the promises that God has given us, one of the things the Lord told us at the beginning of the year was this is going to be the year of increase. Amen? He also said it will be the year of promise. You know, but, you know, every promise that God gives, you've got to put your eyes and keep your eyes on that promise in order for you to be able to attain that promise or to be able to receive that promise. And that's what we are going to be talking about this morning. I'm going to start in the book of Numbers. Now, the background to this story, if you will, in Genesis 15 and verse 13, the Lord predicted and told Abraham, his name was Abraham at the time, he told him that know of a surety, that's Genesis 15 and 13, that your seed shall go down, you know, and be a stranger, they'll be strangers in a foreign land, and they are going to be tormented and, you know, they're going to be afflicted for 400 years. But he said, you know, afterwards I'm going to bring them out with a mighty hand and I'm going to deal with that nation that tormented them. You know, so that was the background. You know, well, you know, you all may know the story of how, you know, Joseph was sold into Egypt by his brothers who were envious of him and so forth, and how all of that happened, and then he went down there, and then Jacob had to go down there because of the famine that was in the whole world and so on. And while Joseph was there, you know, they had a good time because Joseph had been promoted to prime minister of the land, and he gave them a good, you know, good time and so forth. But after, you know, all the passing away of, you know, that initial group of people and the, you know, the new Pharaoh came in that didn't know Joseph and so forth, you know, then they turned against the, you know, the people of Israel, you know, and then became oppressors to them and tormented them, made them slaves and everything, you know. So, and for many, 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 many years, about 430 years, that went on and on and on. So finally God appeared to Moses. Now, you know the story, so I'm just paraphrasing, giving you a background. So God appeared to Moses and said, look, it's time. You know, I have seen the affliction of my people, and now I have heard their cry. Amen? And I am set forth to go and deliver them and to bring them to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Now, that's the promise. See, God said to Moses, I am going to bring these people into a land that is flowing with milk and honey. You know, so, and the story went on, you know, he sent Moses back to Egypt and with great signs and wonders that the Lord did, you know, delivered them with a mighty hand, hardened the heart of Pharaoh even. And, but in any case, you know, the whole story went, and the Lord, he brought them out, see, of Egypt. And they went in the wilderness and so on. And finally, Moses, you know, knowing the promise that God had said that he was going to take them into a very precious land, you know, he sent out some spies to go spy out the land. But he knew the promise of God. So he called some people and said, well, let's go check out the land. You know, this is what we, you know, the Lord promised us, you know, I want you to go out, you know, and check it out and bring us back a report. You know, so that's where we take off with this story. Now, the reading of my text starts from Numbers chapter 12 and verse 21. So they went up, that's the spies that Moses sent, and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, you know, as men come unto Hamath. You know, and so he described the number of people that went and so forth. And I'm going to jump to verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. It took them 40 days. Now, there's a significance to that 40 days, because we'll find out later. And it took them 40 days to search out the land. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came to the land where we thou sent us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it, just like you said. You know, now notice now. They went and searched out the land. Now this is the promise that God gave, just like God gave promise to many of you, you know, the prophetic word, you know, directly to some of you, and generally to all of us, you know, for this new year. You know, so, but, you know, these people, they went out to search, and they brought this report, you know, so. And, but notice what they said in verse 28. In spite of all of the flowing of the honey, I mean, milk and honey, and the fruit of the land that they brought, listen to what they said. They said in verse 28 of Numbers 12. I mean, Numbers 13, actually. I'm sorry, I said Numbers 12, but I was reading Numbers 13 the whole time. That was Numbers 13. Now, he said, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Ammon there. You know, my. And they said, we saw the children of Anak. You know, these people are like giants and so on. You know, and they began to, and they said, we saw the Amalekites, and we saw the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and, you know, the Canaanites, and all of these things. We saw them, you know, and, you know, the people are like giants. You know, that they brought an evil report. But listen to what Caleb said in verse 30 of Numbers 13. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Amen? Now, do I have some Calebs in the house? Amen. Let us go up at once, and let us possess the place. He said, because we are well able. Why? Because the Lord promised it to us. Amen. Amen. Now, see, but the men that went up with him, they said, oh, no. We are not able to go up against these people because they are stronger than it. Now, notice, you know, on the one hand, you know, faith in God's promises will see the promised land. How many of you say amen? But unbelief will begin to degenerate into fear and then magnify all of the challenges and the obstacles. That's all they will see. They will not see the promised land because of unbelief. You know, so unbelief, instead of keeping their eyes on promise, will begin to see the obstacles, the challenges, and the difficulties and so forth. And these people said, we're not as strong as these people. They are stronger than us. In fact, they brought an evil report of the land that they went to search out against, you know, children of Israel. And they said, look, though we have gone through we've gone through all the land and so forth, the inhabitants, now notice what unbelief will do to you. There will be, you begin to contradict yourself, you know, in unbelief. This is what these people said. They said, you know, we searched the land, and here's the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. See? And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. I mean, isn't that a contradiction? If the land is eating up the people, how come the people are so big? You know? I mean, if the land ate up the people, they'd probably be like diminished in stature. But they say, now these people are great in stature, and yet the lion is eating them up. You know, I mean, I don't understand that, you know, that, but their unbelief got them all twisted up. And instead of them believing the Lord, you know, their unbelief just degenerated their mind into fear, and then they said, we can't do it. You know, we can't do it, you know. I mean, it would have been better for us to just stay in Egypt. I mean, why would the Lord bring us out here and come and destroy us and so forth, you know, and let our women be ravaged and all of these things, our children be taken slaves and so forth. And they began to bring such an evil report and so forth. And in fact, listen to what they said. They said, we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which were of the giants. And in our own size, we are like grasshoppers. See, they've already diminished themselves. They think their enemies, which the Lord already gave the enemies into their hands, you know, but their unbelief wouldn't let them realize it. They thought their enemies were giants, and they themselves were like grasshoppers. Hello? Isn't that sad? You know, after the Lord already promised them the victory. Okay, so they brought all this evil report and so forth like that, and then everybody began to say, look, let's make us a captain. If you go down to Numbers 14 and verse 4, let's make us a captain and let's return to Egypt. We don't know what the Lord is doing here. We are not able to do this. He's going to, you know, we will be destroyed and all of this and so forth. Okay. Now, notice what Joshua in Numbers 14 and verse 6. Now, there were only two of all the people that went to spy out the land that came, you know, with the, you know, the answer of faith. The others had unbelief and fear in their hearts. Now, it was Caleb and Joshua, the son of Nun. They were the two that had the answer of faith. Now, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched out the land, you know, they rent their clothes. And verse 7 of 14. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is exceedingly a good land. It's an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delight in us, just like he promised, then he will bring us into this land. And he will give it to us. Amen? Can somebody say amen to that? A land which is flowing with milk and honey. Only, see, and they caution the Lord, only rebel not against the Lord. Rebel not against the Lord. You know, neither fear ye the people of the land. Now notice what it said. For they are bread for us. Oh, we're going to have them for lunch. Amen? Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now that's some faith that is talking. All these so-called giants and obstacles that you see in the land, we will have them for lunch. Amen? They are bread for us. And we are able to go up and take the land. Now let's do it. Let's go up right now. They told the people, you know. And as they began to tell the people and say, look, let's go up, you know, because they told them, they said, their defense is departed from them because the Lord is with us. Now these are people that know, the people that do know their God shall be stronger and do exploits. Now these are the people that know the voice of the Lord, and they knew how to keep their eyes on God's promise. God promised, and they are going to go into that promise. They are going to press into that promise, and they are going to obtain the promise. And they are not going to be looking at the obstacles or the challenges and so forth. Now let me tell you something. You know, just because God promised something doesn't mean that he's going to bring it to you on a platter. He's not going to serve it up to you on a platter. In fact, God's going to sit back and allow the giants, the Amalekites, the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and all of these things, you know, all of these people, to come up against the promise, just so he will see what material you are made of. Amen? Oh yeah, because he wants to see whether you are going to believe his word, or you are going to be discouraged. You know, and let me tell you something else too. You know, every promise that the Lord gives you, you know, if the devil has something to say about it, you know, he's going to make sure that you don't attend that promise. Because that's his role. He is the accuser of the brethren, and he wants to make sure that you don't attain the promises of God in your life. You know, now, these people, in spite of all that God did for them in Egypt, how he brought them out with a strong hand and all the miracles that he did, they soon forgot. Because they were faced with obstacles, see. They forgot. about all of the miracles of God. And listen to what the Lord said in verse 11 of Numbers 14. And the Lord, the glory of the Lord appeared unto in the tabernacle and so forth, the children of Israel, verse 10. And in verse 11, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will these people provoke me? See, people provoke the Lord with their unbelief by limiting the holy God of Israel. How long will they provoke me? How long, you know, will it be before they believe me? For all of the signs that I showed among them. See, all the things that I did among them, and still they will not believe. And the Lord was angry. See, and here's what he said. He said, now, I will smite them with a pestilence, and I will disinherit them, you know, and I will destroy all of them, and I will not allow any of them to come into the promised land, you know, and so forth. And Moses, he pleaded with the Lord and so forth, and the Lord said, you know, in fact, Moses, he challenged the Lord. He said, look, if you do that, the Egyptians and all the nations around that have heard how mighty a God is in the midst of Israel and how he's brought them out with a mighty hand and so forth, they're going to say that, well, the Lord, you know, because he couldn't bring them into the land that he promised them, therefore he slew them in the wilderness. You know, so you don't do that and so forth. So he talked to the Lord. The Lord said, well, that's all right, but, you know, all these folks that did not believe me, not a single one of them will enter the promised land. Now, that is some dangerous ground for you not to believe the promise of God. Because the Bible says, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the word of God of none effect? No, sir. You know, you're doing yourself a disservice when you don't believe the promise of God. Amen. Because God will have a remnant. God will always have some Joshua and some Caleb that will believe the promise of God. Amen, amen, somebody? Amen. And all he needs to do is have one person that will believe. In fact, the Bible says concerning Noah in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, that Noah, you know, by believing the word of God, he condemned the whole world. That's what the Bible says. See, he proved with fear and built an ark to the saving of his family, by the which he condemned the whole world. Because the whole world did not believe. One man stood up, then he condemned the whole world. Joshua and Caleb condemned that whole generation. And the Lord, he took only their children. Now, all the 2 million Jews that came out of Egypt. Now, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 1 through 4. And it will tell you. It will tell you, it says, look, let us not be ignorant of the fact that, you know, how our fathers came out of Egypt and God did many wonderful signs among them, and they passed under the cloud. You know, they saw the pillar of fire and all his signs and so forth. And they even drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, which was Christ. He said, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. And the same God that brought them out of Egypt destroyed all of them in the wilderness because they did not believe his word. Hello? Because they did not keep their eyes on the promise. Now, when God promises something, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 21, that Abraham was persuaded of God that what God had promised, he also was able to perform. See, whatever God promised, you must believe that he is also able to perform. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, so finally, you know, God wouldn't let them go in, you know, but he spoke something concerning Caleb and Joshua. He said, but concerning my servant Caleb, Numbers 14 and 24, because he had another spirit, and he followed me wholly with his heart and so forth, he said, him will I bring to the land, and he shall possess it. You know, so God gave a promise to Caleb, you know, and but the rest of them, because of their unbelief, God will not let them go into that land. And, you know, they missed the great promise of God. In fact, listen to what God said to them in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 34. After the number of days in which they searched the land, even 40 days, it took them 40 days to search the land. And God's now going to put an indictment on all of them and said, look, you know, each day that you search the land is going to be for 1 year. And you're going to wander around in this wilderness for 40 years until you all perish. See? And then you will know my breach of promise. You think God can break his promise? Why, absolutely, if you don't believe. You know, it's not him that's breaking the promise. It's a breach of promise. Because their unbelief created a breach of promise. Hello? Let me read that to you in case you wonder. You know, the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. And he'll never break his promise. You know, but your unbelief will make you to create a breach of God's promise, and you will not be able to attain that promise. Now, he said unto them, you know, after the number of days that they search the land, a day for a year, they shall bear their iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. You know, the promise that he said, I'm going to bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey, he's not going to do it because their unbelief will not carry them through to the land of promise. You know, but see, God will always keep his promise to the faithful. Amen? But there will always be one person. It may be a Joshua. It may be a Caleb that is going to believe the Lord. And as long as those guys believe, God is going to keep his promise. Now, every promise that God has given us this year, the only way that you are going to attain these promises, and the only way that you are going to receive these blessings, will be for you to keep your eyes on the promise, and for you to know that what God has promised, he also is able to perform. Now, here's what, let me give you an analogy about faith and unbelief. Faith, I mean, how many of you know that roses and thorns grow together? Amen? I mean, you can't pick out a bush of roses without seeing a bunch of thorns with it. You know, but the unbelief will only see the thorns. Say, oh, this thing, there's a lot of thorns here, you know. But faith will see the roses. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, so unbelief will always see the challenges, the obstacles, and the circumstances that are going to prevent me from doing great things in life. You know, when God says you'll do great things, say, well, I can't do it. You know, well, then you can't do it then. Amen? Because you say you can't do it. You know. But faith will see the roses. Faith will go. Faith will see past the thorns. Faith will see past the giants and the Jebusites and the Amalekites and so forth. Faith will see into the promised land. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, if I hold up a glass of water here that's about halfway up, you know, faith and unbelief will see that in two different ways. Now, unbelief, which also leads to fear and discouragement and so on, unbelief is, you know, the gateway to so many of these things that lead people to not get the promises of God. The unbelief will see that glass of water that's halfway. It will see it as a half empty glass of water. Now you check your life. If you thought that glass of water was half empty, that's unbelief. You know, and it leads to a pessimistic attitude in life. But faith will see that as a half full glass of water. Amen? That's a big difference. It's the same. Somebody thinks it's half empty. Another person thinks it's half full. See, the one that thinks it's half full, he says, well, I know it's half full because it is rising. Amen? Because he will make my cup to flow over. The other person that thinks it's half empty thinks it is diminishing. You know, so which one do you see? Do you see a half full cup of water? Or do you see a half empty glass of water? You know, now, unbelief is a thing that will stifle you. And it will not allow you to get a hold of the promise of God. But if you keep your eyes on the promise, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, we are told about the whole chapter of Hebrews tells us about the people of faith, you know, how they went through and all the, you know, great things. It's kind of like, a wall of faith, if you want to write it, you know, a hall of faith. You know, is what that chapter is. And he wrote about all the great things and the exploits that they did and so forth like that. And he talked about, you know, the promises that God gave them, which they saw afar off, but they did not attain these promises, you know, for some reasons. One of the reasons was it wasn't yet time. You know, but they saw the promises afar off. Now, in Hebrews 11 and 13, we are told four basic things. How faith works. And he said, you know, that even though they saw the promises afar off, now they remember, these spies that went to see the land, you know, they saw the promised land, you know, and they could have believed that God was able to deliver the land into their hands, but they didn't believe. You know, they allowed unbelief to degenerate into fear and so forth, and of course they ended up not going into the promised land. God destroyed them all. Now, but for those that believe, here's the way it works. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. This is how it works. He says, you know, having received, you know, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. You know, they didn't see the promises yet, you know, but they saw them afar off. See, so they knew the promise of God, you know, whatever, you know. So there may be some things that God has promised in your life which you haven't attained yet, you know, but the promise is there. Amen? The promise is there. Every promise of God is yea and amen in Christ. Now, they saw the promises are far off, and they were persuaded of them. Notice that. And then they embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, so notice, let's see. First, they had the promise, which they saw the promise. And then the second thing was that they were persuaded. They were persuaded. They were persuaded. Just like Romans 4:21 tells us that Abraham was persuaded that God, whatever he promised, he also was able to perform. Now, actually, that's the definition of faith. You know, for you to know that, have the confidence that whatever God said, he is able to perform. Amen? Praise the Lord. And no doubt about it, no wonders about it. Never mind the conditions or what things look like right now. That doesn't matter. God said it. I believe it, and that settles it. Amen. Now, the next thing is, they were persuaded. You know, they were persuaded. You know, and what did they do? They embraced them. You know, some people are persuaded that God is able to do things, you know, but they don't embrace the promise of God for themselves. They believe that God can do it for somebody else. You know, but what about you? Now, amen? So, embracing the promises of God for yourself, not just God can do it. We know God can do all things. Everybody knows that God can do all things, you know. I mean, there really isn't anybody in their sane mind that knows anything about God at all that will not tell you that they know that God can do all things. They know that somewhere in their subconscious. They know that God can do all things. But do you really believe that God can do it for you? Not just for somebody else. Not what he said in the Bible and what we read in the Bible and those stories and so forth. God is not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. Praise the name of Jesus. So we don't need to be reading stories of people who already died and so forth like that. No, we need to be living in the promises of God today. Amen. Praise God. I mean, if all I can believe about God is, you know, what some dead person's testimony has, then what kind of faith is it that I have? I believe in the living God today. Hallelujah. And then the next step is to confess it. See? So see the promise of God. You got to know what God promised. You got to be persuaded. That's number two. And you have to embrace that it is for you, not just for somebody else. And then you have to confess it with your mouth. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just like Joshua and Caleb confessed, they said, look, we are able to go up and take the place. And these people are lunch for us. We're going to eat them for lunch. They are nothing. I don't care if they look giant, like giants and so forth. They are nothing. Now, there was a young man in the Bible. You heard me preach about him many times. His name was David. He was another man that knew how to zero in. See? Oh, yes. On the target. See? Zero in on the target. You know, don't be distracted by anything else. You know, recall the testimonies of what God has done before. And then use that to strengthen you for the battle that is at hand. Amen? Amen. Now, if these people would have remembered how God did great things so they opened the Red Sea. Even before that, how he did mighty miracles in the land of Egypt and so forth. They wouldn't be there now saying that, they, you know, just these people here, you know, I mean, these are people just like yourselves, you know. How do you now think that you cannot take these people? But remember, you know, like the message I preached a few weeks ago, you know, some of these people had been in slavery for so long that they didn't even know how to fight for themselves. See, they have forgotten, you know, what freedom means. You know, so, you know, because their taskmasters used to beat them down, to give them a beat down, See, and when they give them the beat down, they take their wives, they ravage their wives, and they put them down on top of it, and they could say nothing about it because they were slaves. So all that time they were not used to fighting for themselves. You know, and so when so even though God promised this thing, because they've been so long used to defeat, they said, well, we are not able to do it. We can't do it. You know, I mean, these people are going to beat us up like the Egyptians used to beat us up. You know, we would actually be better off in Egypt because these people would beat us up even more, they thought. You know, and my lands. And Moses, he spent all that time trying to teach them, look, you got to fight for yourself. You got to fight for yourself. You know, the Lord will fight for you too, but you got to fight for yourself, you know. So anyway, David was a man that knew how to remember what God had done for him in the past. And he did not forget. And in fact, when he went up against Goliath, of course, it wasn't his fight exactly, you know, but the army that was supposed to be fighting and raising up a champion against Goliath, all of them were cowering. And none of them would stand up and face the challenge. And when David, he came, you know, on an errand to see his brothers, you know, and then he said, what's going on? What's happening? And they said, well, we know that you are, you know, you're always arrogant. You want to put your nose where it doesn't belong, you know, and so forth like that. You know, go home and tend the sheep. You know, and he said, no, wait a minute, tend the sheep. You know, say, hey, we got a battle to fight here. You go home and tend the sheep. And David said, battle? I don't see any battles. All I see is a bunch of seizes that are sitting here. None of you can stand up to this man. Amen?
Amen.
He said, I don't see any battle going on. I just see a bunch of wimps. And then David said, David, you know, everybody said, well, this man, he defied the armies of Israel. David said, no, this man did not defy the armies of Israel. He had defied the armies of our living God.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
David, now, he's going to approach this battle in the spiritual, you know, because he knows the promise of God. But beyond all that, one thing he knew was he remembered the lion and he remembered the bear. And when the lion came and took one of his flock, he went after that lion. He said, boy, not today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he slew that lion. David was only a young teenager. Now, believe me, you know, that's a great feat. Go up against a lion as a young teenager. I don't care what age you are, actually. That's a great feat. Go up against a lion. But he got up against that lion. He slew the lion and delivered the lamb out of his paws. Amen?
Amen.
And then one day there was a bear that rose up against him. And in fact, you know, some of these bears, you know, when they rise up, they can be like 9 feet tall when they really start up. How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And this bear, he rose up. He was like 9 feet tall because the Lord was preparing him for Goliath. But he didn't know it, you know, but he remembered, you know. And he said, look, he told the king, he said, look, you know, the bear made no difference to me. The lion made no difference to me. I slew them, you know, I'm going to slay this man just the same, you know. And they said, you're not even trained in the art of battle. Say, well, I don't need to be trained. I wasn't trained against the lion. Amen?
Amen.
I wasn't trained. I mean, what kind of training will you get to fight a lion? You know, I wasn't trained against the lion. I wasn't trained against the bear. But the Lord was with me. Hallelujah. And he said, though an host should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. Hallelujah. I will not fear, even though armies are surrounded. Say, by my God, I shall run through troops. By my God, I will leap over walls. Amen.
Amen.
And I will slay this uncircumcised Philistine today, and I will bring his head to you. And then you will know there is a God in Israel. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, yes. And so the king, he put it, you know, said, well, all right, that's cool. You know, to put on my armor and so forth. He put his armor on David. And David, he tried, you know, he couldn't even move because this armor was just too heavy. So he said, with all due respect, King, I don't know anything about this armor. Let me go to the place that works for me. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
You got to return to the place that works for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he said, well, I know the place. Said, just give me some time. I'm going to the brook. Amen.
Amen.
Because at the brook, when he was there, he would say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Oh, do I walk through the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, because I'm coming out on the other side. Amen.
Amen.
So he went to the brook and he sang a few songs and so forth. You know, he chose a few rocks. He said, my God is my rock, is my strength. He's my defense. If the Lord be for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. And he went back, he got his sling, said, I'm ready. You know, amen? And you know the rest of the story. He took down that giant. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because the whole time, his eyes were on the promise. Where the Lord said, I will be with you. Hallelujah. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he already knew that. You know, so he said, look. And the whole time when he was going up against the giant, all he was seeing was that big bear that rose up against him. It was 9 foot tall. You know, so he wasn't thinking about Goliath. He was just thinking, you know, that bear that rose up against him was 9 foot tall. Just like this thing here. I'm going to bring him down just the same. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
You keep your eyes on God's promise. And don't you worry about what the challenges or the circumstances look like. God will give you the victory. But if you look at the challenges, of course, you know, the challenges will magnify themselves, you know. Oh yeah, you know, before you know it, you know, the giant will look even bigger than it really is. Because that's what unbelief does. Unbelief makes the problem look even bigger than it really is. Hallelujah. But faith says, who art thou, O great mountain? Before say, Rubabel, thou shalt be brought down. I don't care what it is, it said, thou shalt be brought down. Praise the name of the Lord. My faith in the Lord this year says, every word of God that God has promised to me, I will attain in Jesus' name. I will not care whether it's this and that and so forth. It doesn't matter, you know. And I know that God is already working in some of you. The word has been spoken to the dead seed, you know, in you. And the word of God will quicken. The Spirit of God will quicken that word, that faith in your heart to believe the promise of God. Now, but I want you to put your eyes on the promise of God. I want you to zero in on the target. You know, sometimes I watch the National Geographic and some of these Animal Planet channels and so forth. And I'll see how some of these hunting animals, like the tiger or the leopard, the tiger especially, once he zeroes in on his target. I mean, there may be 200 deer running around there. He'll just zero in on one of them. Amen?
Amen.
And once he zeroes in on one, that one, God help that one, he's going to get it. Amen? Doesn't matter what's going on, he is going to get it. And he can run any way he wants. He's going to zero in on that thing and he's going to get it. Well, I'll tell you something too. The Lord, the ultimate example for us, he zeroed in on his prize. The Bible says, for the prize that was set before him, he despised the shame. Hallelujah. He endured the cross. And in fact, he said, with his own words, he said, the kingdom of God is like a man that found, you know, a jewel of great price. And he went and sold everything in order that he might get. Now the Lord, he saw a jewel of great price. That's you sitting here today. Amen? That's you, and that's you, that's every one of you. You are that jewel of great price. And he went for the gold. That's right. And nothing was going to keep him away from bringing the sons of God to victory. Amen? Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Thank you, Jesus. And we ought to also do the same. And finally, you know, finally, when Joshua took them in and so forth, took the command from Moses after he died and so forth, Joshua took them in the land. Caleb, he came back and pleaded his case with Joshua. And he said, give me this mountain. Hallelujah. Well, I have a message like down on the website. You can go listen to it. Give me this mountain. So he told him. He said, because, you know, I was, you know, the one that brought a good report, while all my brethren brought an evil report. And the Lord promised me that he would give me a blessing. And he said, look, I was 45 years old, you know, in those days. Or 40 years old or whatever. And 45 years have passed and now I'm 85. And I am still as strong today as I was then. To go out for battle and for war. Amen? Now that's what faith will do to you. This man, he believed God from the time he was young and he kept believing God and he was strong. Even when he was 85, he was ready to do the same exploits that he did when he was 40. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But unbelief will cripple you. so fast. You know, oh yeah, all, you know, first of all, well, unbelief destroyed all those people anyhow. But, you know, unbelief, it'll just cripple you, it'll mess you up. And the devil, he likes to mess with your mind by sowing a seed of unbelief. All he has to do is, has God really said that he's going to bless you this year? Has God said that this will indeed be the year of increase in your life? Has God really said that? Doesn't God know that, you know, you cannot attain these things because you are not perfect? Don't you already know that God is not going to put these blessings in your hand because of what you did last week? Because you were not perfect before the Lord? And the enemy, he will sow these seeds of doubt in your mind. Amen? Oh, absolutely. He will too, because he's called the accuser of the brethren. But what you need to do is you need to say, well, you know, it is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And what God has promised, he is also able to perform. And I believe the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You need to say, I believe the Lord.
I believe the Lord.
Every single day. No matter what you face. Now, some of you may be out of work. You know, as whatever, and the devil said to you, well, you know, last year you lost your job. This year you're going to be even worse off. You know, because, you know, things are going, you know, turning even worse, and things are not getting any better. And you say to the devil, that was then. Yes. Amen?
Yes.
But this is now.
Yes.
Hallelujah. This is a new day.
Yes.
And my God is able to supply all my needs.
Amen.
Now, remember what I said. I'm going to close with this. Remember what I said, that just because God promised something to you doesn't mean that God is going to hand it to you on a platter. In fact, every rose that God promises to you is going to come with a bunch of thorns. Amen?
Amen.
But will you see the roses or will you see the thorns? You know, and God will let every challenge and everything, obstacle, you know, all kinds of things. I mean, just look at the Bible. I don't have time today to tell you all the stories in the Bible. But every story of faith in the Bible, they come with all kinds of trials. But those who are champions of faith, they don't worry about the obstacles and the challenges and so forth. They just stay with the word of God. Amen. And it doesn't matter, you know, as, you know, and every time God promises you something, the devil is going to come and make it look like 1,000 miles different from what God promised. Amen. That's right. Oh yeah. Praise God. When God promised Abraham that he's going to have a child, you know, and he has to wait 25 years. How long does it take to have a child? It's 9 months. Amen. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
But if you believe in God for 25 years to have a child, you are in deep trouble. Amen.
Amen.
You better believe within 9 months that you can have that child. But it took him that long. You know, and in fact, he got to the point that he was almost, in the natural, would be wearied out. But he kept saying, I believe God. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
He even changed his name to prove it to his friends. He said, look, God told me I'm going to be the father of nations. So he changed his name. He said, look, don't call me Abraham anymore. You start calling me Abraham. Because God said, I will be the father of many nations. And his friend said, my goodness, you old fool, you know. You don't even have a child. How in the world are you going to be the father of nations? Father of nations, my fool. We have all our children here, and none of us dare call ourselves father of nations. And look at you. You don't even have a child. But he said, the Lord spoke to me. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord, he spoke to me. And that's all that matters. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Has the Lord spoken to you? Did the Lord give you a promise for this year? Did he give you a promise? You know, remember, many of the people that got the promise did not enter in because of unbelief. The same God that delivered them out of Egypt with a strong hand, destroyed all of them in the wilderness because they did not believe God. And God said, how long will these people, of all the miracles that I've showed them day after day, how long will they continue to provoke me by not believing me? Is that you here this morning? How long will you continue to provoke the Lord by not believing the Lord? Just because you have some challenge, just because there are some obstacles along the way, that you resign in your mind to say that, well, I don't think this king can be. I don't think it can be. I don't think it's going to be. Because, well, you know, things are not going right and so forth. Well, don't you ever use those words and say, I don't think this thing's going to be. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
What you want to always say is, I know it will be because the Lord said so. It may not look like that right now, but I know God is working on my behalf. Now, I want to say to every one of you that is in here today, I see God working in your favor. Hallelujah, somebody. I see God is working in your favor. And God, He has plans that are beyond your imagination. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You know, so you don't worry. Your business is for you to believe God. You leave how He's going to do it, leave that to Him. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. God is not a one-way traffic. And you don't need to say, well, that's the way He did it last time. That's the way He's going to do it now. That's the way He did it for somebody. No, that's His business, how He wants to do it. My business is for me to believe the Lord. And I will believe the Lord. Now, the one thing is this. You know, I've made up my mind. You know, I've made up my mind. You know, that I'm going to believe God no matter what. And when I get up in heaven, it's not going to be because I did not believe. Amen? You know, what I'm saying is, look, when I stand up to something that I did not attain for whatever reason, it won't be because I didn't believe. I'm going to believe God. Now, if He wants to overrule or whatever, that's His business. But I'm going to believe the Lord. Amen? Amen, somebody? Hallelujah. I will believe the Lord. In fact, Jesus said, you know, when the Son of Man comes back, shall He find faith? That's in Luke 18 and verse 8. That's how great this faith is. If you don't believe, you know, you cannot get anything from God. Amen? Now, all of the promises that God has promised you this year, will you enter into the promise? Will you keep your eyes on the promise and never mind the giants, never mind the obstacles, never mind... Now, I'm going to speak specifically to some of you in here this morning. Praise the Lord. You say, well, you know, things were not going very well for me last year, my business or this and that and so forth like that. You know, and things are still not going very well. You know, hey, has the Lord spoken or has He not spoken? You know, the Lord said, the word that I speak shall not return unto me void. Hallelujah, somebody. But it will prosper in the thing whereunto I send it, and will accomplish the purpose, you know, that I desire. So everything that God has promised, He will do it. So never mind, it's only day 9 of January 2011. Praise God. The blessings of God are just around the corner. Remember the message a few weeks ago? The blessings were just around the corner. The wells of water were just around the corner. The 70 palms of 70 palm trees were just around the corner. But right now they are grumbling because they couldn't see far enough. You know, let your faith transcend beyond the circumstances that you are looking at. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. You say, well, I'm a student and so forth. You know, and you know, I'm not doing too well, and you know, it doesn't look like I'm going to do well. You know, no, you will do well. Praise God. You know, because the Bible does say, you know, the psalmist, he said, you know, said the Lord, He made me wiser than my teachers. That's right. You know, there's a spirit, there's an excellent spirit that God can bring upon you if you follow on to know the Lord. If you follow and keep your mind on the promises of God and never mind all the distractions and so forth, of course, you got to do your part. Amen. Praise God. God always wants you, and the part that He wanted them to do was just to go in there and bring a good report. Just say the same thing that God already said. Hallelujah. Don't say anything different. Just say the same thing that God had already said. If God said, you're going to have a child this year, you say, I'm going to have a child this year. Amen. If God said, I'm going to have a new job, you say, I'm going to have a new job. Amen. You just say exactly what God already said. Don't think about it. Amen. Because you cannot, by thinking, try to figure out God. And if you try to figure out, you think it out, so forth, you're going to get your mind all twisted up. See, you leave that to God. You just worship. And you just praise His name. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Now I want you to lift up your hands here this morning. Praise God. And if you say, I want my eyes focused on the promise of God, I want you to believe God here this morning. And I want to give you a word of encouragement this morning. That which God has spoken concerning you. In fact, last week, by the Spirit of God, we spoke to the elements to begin to work on your behalf. Just like God commanded Ezekiel to speak to the four winds. And those things are working on your behalf. But be patient. Let patience have a good work. Hallelujah. Be patient. The Lord knows what He's doing. Don't run ahead of the Lord. You just praise Him every day. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and I'm going to pray. I'm not going to call the prayer line today, but I'm just going to pray for every one of you where you're standing. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, if you want the Lord to help you, you say, Lord, you know, sometimes, you know, yeah, I know what you promised and so forth, but my mind drifts here and there and so on. Well, I'm going to give you the secret. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, what things soever are of good report, think on these things. What things have virtue and of praise, and if they're, you know, if they're good and so forth, think of the miracles of God. Think of the things that God has already done. Amen? Amen. Don't worry about, you know, what is ahead. What, you can't, by thinking, figure out a way around it anyhow. You know, all you got to do is, you just think of all of the mercies of God up till today. Think of the miracles that He has done. Some of you, God has already healed from incurable diseases. We have those testimonies right here in this church. God has done some incredible things. You know, imagine if God healed you from an incurable disease, which doctors gave you up. You know, and then someday you have something else that is even lesser, and the devil tells you that, you know, you can't be healed. God already healed you from something greater. You know, so that's how you use your faith. You channel your faith positively upon the remembrance of all of the great things that God has done. And you use that to encourage yourself to believe God for greater things. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And don't you ever limit the Lord. Now I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, move upon your people, Lord. Hallelujah. And I come against the spirit of doubt and unbelief and fear. Hallelujah. The spirit of confusion. Every spirit that does not glorify God, I come against them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let them be disarmed. Amen. 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 Disarmed. Hallelujah. Powerless against the people of God. Now let faith through the spoken word rise in the hearts of your people, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. And let your people begin to believe you against all odds. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, Lord Jesus. Now, as we keep our eyes on the promise, Lord, this year, the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. Not perhaps, not maybe, not whatever, but yea and amen in Christ. Now, every promise of God that God has promised you, whether it be promised, well, of course, God has promised a new day for all of us. Oh, He promised new things, new beginnings. New beginnings. Hallelujah. New beginnings. Praise God. No matter the failures, challenges of yesteryears or whatever, that was then. This is now. We believe the name of the Lord now, and we go forward. And I want you to say, like Joshua and Caleb said, they said, look, these things that we see, these giants that we look at, they are nothing. They are bread for me. I'm going to have them for lunch. Because the Lord is with me and their defense is departed from them. I'm going to go through into the promised land this year. Amen. Amen, somebody. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I pray that the Lord will watch over His word over your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord watched that word to fulfill it. Remember, the word of God will sustain itself. Once spoken, all you got to do to keep it going is believe it and it shall come to pass. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, Lord, fulfill your desire in the lives of your people. They desire that they should be the head and not the tail in Jesus' name. That they should be above only and not beneath in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And everywhere where there is, you know, where there is something lacking or something shortage, the Lord shall give the increase in Jesus' name. Because he did say that this is the year of increase. So let's believe the Lord together. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. And for those of you that are doing well, you know, you believe the Lord for even better. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because there is no limit to God. Remember the message breaking forth with no limits from last week. There is no limit to God. You know, so you believe the Lord and keep on believing and keep your eyes on the promise and don't let the devil ever trick you into looking at the obstacles, but you keep your eyes on the Lord. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah! Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! Praise God. I want the praise team coming up and let's close this thing out with a rally here this morning. Praise the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.